Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. This is Dan. I'm here with Big Cass. Today was Pro Day 2024, and, you know, not a ton of scouts in attendance, I guess is the correct
word. Because Marv didn't do anything.
I know. But there was a lot of star power still, like Stroud, yeah. Shaw, Draymond Jones, DeJuan Jones. You had a lot of guys still show up for it. I mean, some NFL guys in attendance, but if for an Ohio State Pro Day, it seemed kind of underwhelming. We did see our quarterbacks throw a little bit.
Will Howard looked good.
He did. I mean, we're getting to the point where we're going to start analyzing every little thing. It's funny though, because it's, you know, we have like guys like Will Howard throwing, and like Devin Brown,
Jack Sawyer, JTT were working out.
Yeah, and it's like, it's almost like it's their pro day, because I kind of like Ohio State's approach to this now. We're letting some of the underclassmen guys work out in front of NFL talent.
Yeah,
and like Marv didn't work out this year, but like people forget last year he worked out, and so yeah, would be proud.
He's going to be the top receiver taken, and he's going to be probably, he doesn't need to prove anything. He's going to be the top receiver taken. He's probably the best player in the draft. There's nothing he needs to go out and show anymore. Real quick, before we dive deep into this, this is Dan's last episode for quite some time, as you're going to be a father next week, man.
Yeah, it's, well, hopefully. I mean,
hopefully.
I might have another in me. I don't know. It might extend another week. We're not sure, because the due date is Tuesday. Could be tomorrow, could be tonight, could be 2 weeks from now. No one knows. So we're just taking it day by day. I'm really excited. Can't wait to meet the little guy. You're going to love the name. I'm going to tell you that right now. I can't tell you the name, but you're going to love it once you hear the name. No guesses. Just trust me on that one. But yeah, I'm stoked. I can't wait.
I already know what it's going to be. It's going to be Joe Milton. So, but yeah, I mean, as of right now, this could probably be your last. We got Blake and AJ from the Silver Bulletin coming on next week, if barring Baby Smith does come. So, but yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm going to be like Marvin Harrison, and it's going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, no, but yeah, I'm excited, obviously, just kind of waiting. It's just the waiting game now, but you know, I'll post the baby and stuff once he's here.
You're waiting for your son to come into this earth. Like Marvin Harrison is waiting to be drafted right now at this point. Like, you're just playing the waiting game, both of you.
Honestly, that's a great take. Yeah, and it's like, back to Marv though. It's like, I don't blame him for not working out, because it's like this. Like, you're applying for a job, and you're like, you're not doing it on Indeed, so you don't need to like do the resume, type out your work experience, because it's like Marv is basically a once in a generation prospect. He has the family ties. Like, he's in there. Like, his dad is the CEO. Like, Marvin Harrison is like the CEO of the company, it feels like. So, like, why are you going to work out and do all this stuff extra when everyone knows you're going to be a stud? Like, and he's proved it. But if you watch the tape, you've seen the workouts. I posted the video of him doing the jugs machine to himself. If you time it, he runs 33 yards in like 4 seconds, not even on a straight line, literally tracking a ball. So, I mean, we all know he's fast. If someone like feels bold and they just want to take Malik Nabers or Romo Odunze, more power to them. But I don't want to hear it when, you know, Marv is, you know, the next Larry Fitzgerald or DeAndre Hopkins. Because, I mean, that's what he's going to be. Everyone knows what he's going to be. So, like, the only reason Marv would not get be the first wide receiver is because some GM thinks they're smarter than they actually are. And it's going to cost them their job down the road. It 100% will. So, like, it is what it is. You can't fix stupid. I think Marv is doing it the right way. And he's not being a diva about it. He's just – he's like people said, he's Albert Breer wrote an article, actually, and he kind of outlined it in the article. I actually retweeted it. But Marv is training for the NFL season. He's not training to just run a 40. He's training to be ready – and maximize his talent on the field this year. Some other guys, it's kind of like you're just training for the combine. So,
yeah,
the way he's approaching it.
Yeah, I like the approach. Nothing, like I said, nothing for him to prove. I mean, there is two guys that I'm looking at this Ohio State Pro Day. There's a few guys on there that, you know, who are looking to prove something. Cade Stover. Looking to prove, go out there and prove something, like he's a solid tight end in the NFL, which I think he will be. I think Matthew Jones at guard, looking to try to prove himself. Steel Chambers, Tommy Eichenberg, trying to prove themselves. Michael Hall Jr., 25 reps on the bench press, 225 bench press again today, out there proving himself. But one guy in particular that I'm really interested in, and his career got taken away from him from false accusation, and I was glad to see that Ohio State offered him to let him use a pro day, Amir Reap. It was nice to see Amir Reap out there and trying to showcase what we missed.
And Jason Wint was there too. But, I mean, I got to commend it to Ohio State. It was very classy of them, and it speaks to the culture too. We like Sam Wiggles from OU was there. There was a couple guys who are no longer with the program, but they're still like Buckeyes for life. And they, you know, Ohio State extend the offer, let these guys work out. And it's a testament to just the culture. Like, guys want to come back. Like, yeah, it might not work out with them playing at times just because we're so loaded at every position. But the fact that, like, we extend it, you know, to let guys come back, I think it's great because it just shows recruits, like, hey, you might not be playing with us, but like you're always going to be a Buckeye. Like, example one A, Joe Burrow. Like, he still visits the facility all the time. I'm not trying to claim him, but like he's a Buckeye. So
he wears the bracelet. He wears his LSU and Ohio State wristband bracelet, so people lay off.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, out of today, I think Michael Hall probably had the most to gain, just because he's kind of people see him as a first round guy at the end of the first round. I could see a team like the Rams taking him.
They have to now.
With Aaron Donald retiring. And honestly, his skill set kind of reminds me a little bit of Aaron Donald's. Kind of, I know that's a big, big projection, but they are kind of similar if you watch them play. They play very tenacious. They're not huge guys, but they can definitely, you know, wreak havoc.
I will tell you, there's a team sitting about late mid-round, first round, that they just let their defensive tackle walk to Detroit. I know they signed a veteran guy. They just signed a big-time offensive tackle for a first round. They're sitting at 18. They need a defensive tackle. Cincinnati Bengals. You're on the clock. Let's get Michael Hall Jr. Think about what Michael Hall Jr. reminds me of Geno Atkins and a little bit of Aaron Donald, because the build size, I think with the division that they're in, especially with Baltimore, with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, Pittsburgh runs the ball, Nick Chubb at Cleveland, why not bring in Michael Hall Jr. with the Cincinnati Bengals? At 18, I'd love to pick. Even if the Bengals like look at it this way, be like, hey, we really like Michael Hall Jr. We feel like he's gonna be in the later round. How about a team that wants to move up and grab somebody? And like the Bengals have, like the biggest thing with the Bengals is to stay healthy. They don't really have a lot of needs. They just need to stay healthy. And if the guy they wanted wide receiver is not there. Because they're going to have to get a receiver eventually, because T. Higgins probably going to be gone eventually. if their number one player, if it's a receiver or a tight end, is gone, I could see a team like my Bengals moving down and drafting Michael Hall.
I could see that. I could also see him taking a guy like Cade Stover. I feel like there is a need at tight end for them for the most part.
Well, yeah, yes and no. They just got Mike Gesicki, which he'd be huge for Joe Burrow in the passing game. It'd be better than Irv Smith. But they also signed Tanner Hudson and Drew Sample, who are very good blocking. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, Cade Stover looked really good today. What stood out for me was just how effortlessly he kind of makes, you know, running routes and catching the ball. Even with a quarterback like Will Howard that he's probably not super familiar with, just because, you know, obviously Cade is done playing, Will's brand new here. They looked pretty good throwing together. So, I think it just makes it easy. Like, if you could see a tight end making it easy for a quarterback with, like, not a ton of rapport in chemistry, catching, you know, making good throws to him and the tight ends making good catches, I feel like that says something about Cade Stover.
Can you imagine if Cade Stover never went from tight end to linebacker, then back to tight end? If he just stayed at tight end the whole time?
I think that adds to it. I think that adds to his value, though, and everything, because if you're an NFL GM too, like, you look at Cade Stover, let's say if he's, you know, you draft him not to start, but be like a really solid backup at first, he's definitely going to be able to contribute on special teams because you know he can play linebacker, he can start at linebacker. So, like, you wouldn't be in, like, I feel like he, at the NFL level, at very least, he will make a very good impact on special teams at minimum.
I think CJ Stroud and the Texans being there, I think that's the guy they were looking for, Cade Stover. They've already interviewed Cade Stover. I think he would be a great complement to Dalton Schultz. Schultz and Stover would be nasty for the Texans.
I agree. I also think like a guy like Xavier Johnson would be good for them. Just because, yes, they have Nico Collins and Tank Dell, but Tank Dell's hurt. Nico Collins, obviously, great year, but they could use another guy in the late round. Even a guy like Mayan Williams, too, because the Texans need some running backs. They lost Singletary. They didn't get Saquon. A guy like Mayan later, just to fill the role of...
Tommy Eichenberg would be a good one for the Texans, too, because get some more linebacker depth.
I think Tommy... I'm trying to think of a team that really needs linebackers.
I tell you what, Tommy Eichenberg screams Green Bay Packer for some reason.
I was thinking Packer, NFC North. I could honestly see him being a Bear, like almost like an. I could see that. That just screams though NFC North for some reason.
He screams Green Bay Packer. I also see New England Patriot out of them.
Yeah, yeah. Steel screams to me Atlanta Falcon.
I was about to say that. The Atlanta Falcons.
Because they kind of like, they like the versatile guys too, but I just
see – Yeah, Mayan Williams screams – and Mayan Williams to me screams like – Tennessee Titan, Cleveland Brown, late round Buffalo, but maybe not Buffalo. Yeah,
I can see Mayan. Hear me out. Los Angeles Charger. Because I think Jim Harbaugh is a guy who would appreciate his running style, and find a way to kind of use him in his offense. Because Jim Harbaugh loves to run the ball, and I feel like what Jim Harbaugh is probably trying to accomplish, because he's gotten rid of Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, I feel like they're gonna
sounds like he's gonna get rid of Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see.
I mean, I'm excited. I love watching the guys get drafted and stuff. I hate when they don't get drafted. That's honestly what makes me the most upset.
Honestly, I see everybody getting drafted that came out. Like I think Matt Jones gets drafted. I think he's a third, fourth rounder. I don't but he's gonna be really solid for somebody.
He screamed Seattle Seahawk.
He's definitely screams at NFC West. I was thinking that. Maybe he teams up with an Arizona with Paris Johnson.
I like that. I could also see Giants because with the Eagles getting Jalen Carter, him being in the division, Giants, they always need offensive line help, I think. And Matthew Jones can kind of play center or guard. He did a very good job against Jalen Carter. So even an Eagle, I can see Matthew Jones being an Eagle because they need a center.
Jason Kelsey's gone. Cade Stover. There's only one team that I see is Cade Stover, and that's Houston. I don't see any other team that really jumps out to him for Cade Stover.
I think a good team for Cade Stover would be, I could see him. It wouldn't be a good team, but it's a team, the Raiders. I feel like he could be looking at him in a Raider uniform. I feel like he just has Raider written all over him for some reason because he's got like that gritty,
yeah,
toughness. Him in a Raider uniform is terrifying.
Marvin Harrison Jr. is the interesting one. Him in a uniform with the Patriots doesn't look, because that's right now he's like fourth. Go Patriots, right? Fourth.
They have him fourth to the Cardinals, which that makes sense to me. Because they need a receiver. They lost Hollywood Brown. They have the quarterback in place. They got Paris Johnson. They got the tackle. They have they have a good tight end in McBride. Their running game, they have Connor. Like, he was good. They lost Rondale Moore. I think they're going receiver. I really think they're going to take Marv.
I think they're going Marv, but
and he fits the profile of like a Larry Fitzgerald. Like, if there's anyone that comps to Larry Fitzgerald, I feel like it's Marv.
Yeah. But the uniform, I just don't think it will look right on Marv. I really don't. There's like certain players where it's like that uniform's going to look studly on him.
I've been hearing rumors that like the Jets could trade up for him. Because they have pick 10 and they could package something. They have a lot of picks and stuff, the Jets.
They need to figure out what Aaron Rodgers is doing. Is he going to run for vice president, or is he going to try to win a Super Bowl?
So it's, I mean, what team would Marv look right on for you? That's my question.
Man, it's tough. I mean, honestly, there's no way they're getting him because, you know, they have no money. There's no way they could package him. But San Francisco, but if you're looking in the top 10, let me see who's picked the top 10 NFL draft order. I mean, real quick.
It's Bears 1. Commanders 2, Patriots 3, Cardinals 4. The Chargers at 5 would be interesting.
No chance, in my opinion.
I would be upset if
Hear me out. Hear me out. How nasty would this be? Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Kirk Cousins, and Marvin Harrison Jr.
And the Falcons Atlanta had a very good Falcons. Offensive line. They had a really good, they have a really good offensive line.
If Atlanta, but the thing is, he's not going to fall to Atlanta. But that would be
they would have to trade up, but like not that much because they're at 8. So like that you yeah. like if 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 Marv is there at four, they could trade up and probably give up like a second or third round pick to just to go get a guy to put him over the top.
Here's the thing that I could see happening. Say Arizona, say, okay, because they're not sure completely sold on Kyler Murray. Say if Chicago goes Caleb Williams, Washington goes Drake May, New England goes Jaden Daniels, Arizona goes, who's the other quarterback before J.J. McCarthy?
Penick?
Say J.J. McCarthy. There's a lot of talk about quarterbacks going one through four, whether if it's Arizona or not. I honestly see Atlanta calling up Jim Harbaugh and say, look, we really want Marvin Harrison Jr. We know you don't throw the football. Or you could see even – oh, for sure. Think about it. If Arizona – like, Arizona would be the team that Atlanta would have to move with, because I'm saying this – no, they got Justin Herbert. What if Jim Harbaugh takes J.J. McCarthy at number five, knowing that Justin Herbert's there? I think there's no chance, but I mean, Tennessee needs a quarter. I mean, Tennessee doesn't need a quarterback. The Giants, I think the Giants are going to end up with J.J. McCarthy, but say the Giants move up to four. They take J.J. McCarthy. Does Jim Harbaugh take Marvin Harrison Jr.? Like, that's – or does he move down? And then you could see Atlanta moving up to the Chargers, grabbing Marvin Harrison Jr.
It really depends on Jim Harbaugh's evaluation of Marv. I feel like he definitely values him highly, just because he's seen what he can do against him.
What if the Colts move up and draft Marvin Harrison?
I mean, that's the spot that's the right spot for him. That's the right place for him. Everyone would agree. And then you pair him with like Pittman and Anthony Richardson. That's a fun offense all of a sudden. And Jonathan Taylor, and they still have a good line. Like, that's a fun offense.
Yeah.
I mean, and they do have Anthony Richardson on that rookie contract. They could make it work.
We could dive more deep into this way next month when the draft is here.
No,
we got more things to talk about.
But yeah, just to wrap it up, great pro day. Loved seeing everyone. And I last takeaway, I love CJ Stroud. Like, I didn't think I could really love another quarterback as much as I love Justin Fields, but like seeing like just how dedicated Stroud is to the Buckeyes and how he always backs us and how he's always, you know, showing up for his teammates and stuff. Like, I just love that about the guy. Stroud has really grown on me in my Ohio State quarterback rankings. And like, he's really nipping at Justin Fields' heels right now.
Yeah. In
rankings. Just want to put that out there.
So what I really loved was Ryan Day's press conference. It was 39 minutes long. It takes me 35 minutes to get to work. So I was like, why not listen to it? Ryan Day's press conference yesterday looked so relaxed. Looked like he was actually enjoying life. So I got some takeaways. So here's my takeaways. Number one, Jack Sawyer will be a captain, probably the number one captain. And you could tell that Ryan Day just absolutely loves Jack Sawyer.
I mean, who doesn't love Jack Sawyer? But you can definitely see at the end of last season, he was definitely taking that next step. And now, I mean, I feel like that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Number two, Ryan Day being the CEO will be dangerous to our opponents, knowing that he's in every position group meeting. Taking time, going into every position group meeting, that's just dangerous now because the guy knows football.
I agree.
Number three, the fact that Brian Hartline and Keenan Bailey are in charge of punt and kickoff return, Matt Guerrero and Jameson Laurinaitis in charge of kickoff and punt, and Ken Oaks is in charge of all of them, just organizing it, and there's not one set special teams guy, I just absolutely love that.
I mean, I think it's definitely a different way to do things. I think
Tressel did it, and we had great special teams with him.
No, he did. And what I liked about it is, one, he's reaching out to Jim Tressel, so it's always good to get someone else's perspective. And also, it's like respecting a legend and all that. Two, I just like he's putting like the offensive guys with like the offensive part of special teams and like returning the ball, and then the defensive guys with the defensive part of special teams. So like it kind of dumbs it down, I think, from like an organizational perspective, but I think it's very smart.
And then, of course, I think Ryan Day at the end of the day is going to put all that together and that plan together, special teams. Mm-hmm. Number four, I think the O-line is going to be really, really good this year. Just the way he keeps talking about how him and Chip Kelly and, you know, Chip Kelly and Justin Fry are really implementing this run game. Ryan Day is coaching the running backs as right now as they are in search of their new running backs coach. I think it's going to be announced after the spring game. That's just my opinion. But I think the O-line is going to be really, really good, especially the way they're talking up Tegra Shibola, Luke Montgomery, and Josh Fryer.
For sure. No, I mean, I think the offensive line is definitely going to be deeper this year than last year.
Number five, Jaden Ballard will transfer after spring. You can't be in your fourth year in the program and get told by your head coach that you have to step up your game, especially the way Brandon Ennis, Bryson Rogers, and Jeremiah Smith have been practicing this spring and elevating their game, being told that Brandon Ennis is just really physical. He might be the Brandon is being the most physical of the receiver group. And that sounds to me, now that he's a full year, because he came in late last year, if you think about it, he came in in August. If you really think about it, you could, as good, you know, Julian Fleming is good as blocking. I hope Brandon is the way they're talking about how physical he is. I bet he might be our best blocker, and he might be our third receiver.
I mean, in the one game he had that one just against Purdue, that touchdown, he showed his explosiveness. He's thick. Like he's not super tall, but he's broad. You know, he's 6 foot and like almost 210 pounds. He's a big guy. I could totally see him kind of taking on that role. I wouldn't be shocked if he's our second leading receiver. Like I'm willing to go out on that take.
He's going to be up there. And then I think I didn't add this to my actual list I was sending out to my friends and stuff and then everybody. But I think he knows who he hired at running backs coach. And he's just itching to tell everybody who he hired. Just because – and the fact that he brought in the running backs into the interview process is really fantastic. And I can't – and I think – whoever he hired, and there's a lot of rumors going on who he didn't. Obviously, just the news breaking out before we came on air was DeMarco Murray interviewed, but he's choosing to stay at Oklahoma. That tells me right there that you chose to stay at Oklahoma instead of coaching the best two running backs in the country because Ryan Day had already made his decision. I can't wait till he announces who this is because he's really giddy about it, and you could tell.
I just like the concept of Judkins and Travion interviewing the coach.
Dallin Hayden.
Yeah, it makes me think of the Step Brothers scene when they're interviewing, like, we're here to interview you.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, the tuxedos are kind of effed up. That's so, what I thought of.
And then my last takeaway. Just the way he handled the press conference, just the way he was talking about Tony Alford, like he didn't want to throw him under the bus because that's how respectful Ryan Day is. He didn't want that throw him under the bus, but you could tell that, you know, he's pretty pissed off about it. And with this mentality that Ryan Day has, we've never seen this before. Like, you know what I mean? Like we've rarely seen it. We are winning the national championship this year with this mentality.
The one thing, and they're doing everything right. I'm just not, I'm not saying we're winning the national championship just yet, just because of how the format is. I feel like this year the format's going to be so tough, because it's, you know, you got to play a bunch of games to win, get to the Natty. It's not like you're a top four team, you win a game and then you're in the Natty. You got to be a top, you know, eight team, and then you got to kind of play a little bit against some good teams. So I'm not willing to say that yet, just because of how the schedule.
I'm just saying, with the mentality he is bringing right now, if it keeps up, we are winning the Natty. That's where I'm coming from. I'm not totally sitting there saying we're going to win it. Like, if he keeps this attitude and stuff.
Team-wise, I think this team could be definitely up there, like the 2019 Buckeyes, like how dominant that team was. But, like, the best team doesn't always win the Natty. I thought that year that team was the best team. We just got screwed against Clemson. So, do I think we can win? Yes. And, like, we have just as good a shot as any year in recent memory, if not better this year. But I'm not willing to say that just yet, just because we got a lot of time left, you know, like there's a,
oh, I know,
but I'd give us an A+ so far, I guess, is what I'm saying.
And your take was, you could tell he's locked in because he called new head coach Josh Diebler.
I think if you talked to Ryan Day, he would have thought Chris Holtmann was still the coach, because I think he's been in like his bunker just doing his thing. On a quick note, because we only got like 2 minutes here, join our bracket. We did post it out earlier today. Join our bracket, please. Before tomorrow, you'll get a prize. I think we're thinking like what, like a DHgate jersey for first place, or.
If you finish dead last, you get a Kyle McCord DH Gators. No, I'm thinking we've done gift cards in the past, and I kind of like the gift card situation.
Perfect.
Yeah, because if we want to give out a DH Gate jersey, you know how many people are going to be mad because we're going to buy a DH Gate jersey, you know, and they're going to be like waiting forever. But how about this? The winner gets a gift card of their choosing up to $25.
Perfect. I like it. And also, Ohio State, great start to the Jake Diebler era. Beat Cordell in an absolute banger of a game. Just Cordell was shooting lights out.
Cornell's a good team.
And like Diebler made sure the guys rallied. You know, just a real good win. They're going to face Virginia Tech in the Trevor Thompson Bowl.
Saturday. Not on TV either.
It's on ESPN Plus, just because of all the tournament and everything's on. Women's team, also, this is a big one. They start their NCAA tournament dreams against Maine. They are a 2 seed.
Most likely will play Duke on Sunday.
Yes. Both should be at the shot. So just a really exciting weekend of Ohio State basketball.
Baseball home opener's coming up.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So, I mean, that's all I really got, Cass. So for everyone, thank you so much for listening. Hopefully this time next week, I'm a father. And, you know, you'll hear from me probably like a month or so. But Cass will hold it down. And
some big guests coming.
What?
Got an offensive line breakdown with Jamie Sumner coming. And then my co-broadcaster from Fairfield County Sports Network, Chris Voigt. He's a middle school football coach. He's going to come on, and we're going to break down Ohio State's offense and football. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Can't wait. So, as always, thank you for listening to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast, and go Bucks.
Go Bucks.